Our gospel reading for today comes from the book of John, chapter 13, beginning with verse 31. And it reads, "When he had gone out, Jesus said, 'Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only for a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Also, you should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.'" The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Today I come to you with a sermon that asks the question, what does love look like? How many of you had pets when you were growing up? Let me see some hands. Okay, let's get a little more specific. How many of you had fish when you were growing up as your pet? Okay, that's all my mom would let us have in an apartment also. One of the things that I learned about having fish as a pet is that they are extremely territorial. Did anybody else notice that? Once they have made a portion of that tank their home, if you introduce another fish into that tank, that fish will never find a place to settle in. It'll get chased from one side to the other until it's either killed or jumps out of the tank. And so, what we've learned is that whenever we wanted to add new fish to the tank, we had to follow these steps. First, we had to remove all of the fish out of the tank. And then, we had to remove all of the little articles, the little trees and houses and castles and things out, all the rocks and everything, wash out the tank, clean it up good, put the water back in, put all the little decorative things in the tank, but not in the same place. You couldn't make the tank look anything like it did before. And then last but not least, at the exact same time, add the old fish and the new fish. And what you will see happening is a mad scramble. The fish will just start swimming all over the tank, trying to claim their own little places to stay and call their own. And once they've done that, once they become familiar with their new space, once they get used to being near each other, you will then find a calm that'll wash over the entire fish tank. It's just amazing to watch. But the question that always came to mind was, why do we have to do this? Why can't we just take the new fish, put them in a tank, let them find their own place so the original fish will just simply welcome them, make room for them, and just simply let them find their own space? Particularly if you got a great big huge 50-gallon tank with only three little fish in it and you just want to kind of fill it up so it doesn't look empty. The answer to that question is because fish are an interesting breed. They have no love for one another, nor do they desire to show love towards one another. It's all about themselves. And believe it or not, This is exactly what was happening in Jerusalem during the time of our gospel reading. Here we find the followers of Christ who had become followers of Christ, whose origins began out of the Jewish race. And as they accepted Christ and formed a group, the outsiders, the Gentiles, began to see all of the joy that they were having and all the blessings they were receiving for following Christ. And as time went on, they said, we want to be a part of that as well. So they too became followers of Christ. But for whatever reason, that first group, those who had come out of the Jewish portion of that race, would not accept the Gentile converts as equal partners and followers of Christ. But what made this kind of interesting is Peter didn't make a distinction. Peter did not see a difference between the two groups. All he saw were followers of Christ, regardless of where their origins came from. And so it was with that that Jesus, when called out on the carpet by those who were originally Jews, when they asked him, why are you eating with those people? Why do you associate with those people? Peter shared with them a journey that God had taken him on. And on this one fateful day, as Peter began to pray, the scriptures told us that the Holy Spirit came upon him and took him on a journey where he began to experience something that was completely foreign. He said he sat there and God showed him, coming down from heaven, a blanket filled with all of the animals that he was taught were taboo, were unclean. You shall not eat, you shall not touch, you shall have no parts of these animals. And then the word of the Lord said, kill, eat. To which Peter responded with what we would expect him to say, no, Lord. I have never touched an unclean animal in my life. I have never allowed anything that was unclean in my mouth. And then God replied by saying, do not call anything unclean or profane that I have created and deemed clean. And then the blanket went back up into heaven. And this happened 3 times. And as Peter sat and reflected on this, his vision continued to go on. And he saw that 3 men were going to come to him. 3 men who were Gentiles. 3 men who were anxious to receive Christ. And the Spirit said, go with them. No sooner than he ended his prayer, no sooner than he began to come back to himself, it came true. A group of men came to him and led him back to their home, where 3 more were there. And as he sat and he talked with them and he prayed with them and he supped with them and he ministered to them, each of them received Christ in their own way. As Peter shared this message with those who were questioning his loyalty to them and his position as a person of God and a follower of Christ, they too began to understand that whoever accepts Christ is not up to us, but it was up to God. It was God was the one who put this in motion. It was God who calls people to become a part of this wonderful family. And so Peter, in his own heart, said the same thing that they would eventually say. And that is, if God calls you to become a part of this wonderful family, who am I to hinder your becoming a part of this? Who am I to tell you, you don't belong because you're not one of us. You're not like us. You didn't come the same way that we came through this journey. And the scripture then goes on and says that when they heard all that Peter had said, they fell silent and began to accept it. Beloved people of God, we're living in a very interesting time, because all too often we find ourselves in a place where we too sometimes make those same distinctions. We too find ourselves wanting to look at those people, whoever they are. But here's the funny part about it all. Pretty much all of us have gone through a time in our lives, particularly around those teenage years, when we felt uncomfortable because we wanted to be a part of that popular group or that in crowd. And yet, the part that makes it so ironic is that when we look around in our congregation, when we look around even in our own homes, in our small circle of friends or larger circle of friends, even when we take a real close look at our family members, what we'll discover is that no two persons are exactly alike. And yes, it's true that we may find things that we have in common. We may share common values. We may share common thoughts or ideas. We may even go as far as to share common political views. But however we may find these common things to be the birth of kindred spirits in all of us and amongst one another, we still have a habit of looking at what makes others different. But I challenge us this day to do something even bigger than that. I challenge us to go beyond that. I challenge us to look at one more thing that we have in common, one more thing that brings us all together. And that, beloved people of God, is our love of Jesus Christ. Yes, if we did that, I can then go back to my original question. What does love look like? If we were to focus not on the things that make us different, but focus on the thing that we have in common, which is our love of Jesus Christ, what we will find is what is described in that book of Revelation. When that new heaven and that new earth comes, what our lives, what this world would look like, is that we would find a place where no one is given a reason to cry. We'll find a place where no one is suffering. We'll find a place with no diseases. We'll find a place where there's no more hardship or poverty. We'll find a place where there are no more disasters or untimely deaths. We'll find a place where there is nothing that will cause us to feel angry or anxious or upset. This is what the world will look like on that great and glorious day when all things come to an end. But what does love look like now? What would make the world look like that? Well, until that day comes, I challenge us to do this. To do your best to live into that new commandment that Jesus gave us, which says, and I quote, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Also, you should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciple if you have love for one another." Beloved people of God, we can actually have a portion of heaven on earth, starting here and starting now, if we do our best to love one another. So what does that love look like? Well, borrowing from one of our favorite scriptures when we do weddings, this is what love would look like. It would be patient. It would be kind. It would not be envious of one another. It would not be boastful or arrogant. It would not insist on having its own way. It would not be irritable or self-centered. It will not take joy in doing wrong to one another, but it will celebrate and rejoice in the truth, and it will bear all things, give hope to all things, and endure all things. And then I love the way that scripture finishes, and I'll read it verbatim. It says, "And now faith and hope and love abide, but these three things, the greatest of all of them, is love." This, beloved people of God, is what love can look like. This, beloved people of God, is our challenge. What does love look like? It looks like all of us coming together to try to make each person feel that they are loved. Starting with God's love, the love that God has showed for you, show that same love towards somebody else. And if we can do that, when we look out into the world, we'll actually see the world through a different lens. And the one thing that I find an even bigger challenge is if we can get that type of momentum started just from this little corner, what you'll start to see happening is anger, hatred, bitterness, bigotry, racism, all the isms that make this world a tough place to be a part of. You'll actually see all that melt away, because instead of looking at what makes us different, we'll celebrate what brings us together. And that is our love of God and our love in Jesus Christ. And so, beloved people of God, I leave you with that challenge today to go out and to love your fellow human being the same way God has showed love for you. And now comes the toughest question of them all. Are you up to the challenge? Are you? I hear nothing. It's a scary challenge to go out and treat somebody you may not like with love. But give it a shot. What's the worst that could happen? You break through a tough moment, and you'll actually find that they love you too. Amen. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be reminded that we have one thing in common, and that is you and you alone. And so, Lord, bless us that we might continue to be a blessing to one another. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.